even though I'm building an AI product and I am deep in the space, I'm still like pretty hardcore pro-human that like, I think we've got a good stretch of time still in front of us. I might be naive. I could, again, we could wake up tomorrow and there could be some new revolution, but I think what we bring to the table, the complexity of the things we can think about and solve, is still at a level that I haven't seen AI come close to touching.
I'm Jonathan Gandolf, and welcome to the Content Cocktail Hour, powered by Audience Plus. Our mission is to shake out the deepest secrets of B2B marketing professionals and stir up fresh conversation, all to help you connect your brand with the right audience at the right time. Let's raise a glass.
Welcome back to the Content Cocktail Hour. This is Jonathan here, co-founder and CEO of Audience Plus, and the host of today's episode, where I am thrilled to be joined by Clay from Map and Fire, who is a recurring guest now of the Content Cocktail Hour. We only have a few of those, and it's a big deal if you get the invite back, and he's here today. I'm excited to talk to him. And we've actually kind of added on to Clay's maybe description here and what he's up to. Last time, I think it was just Map and Fire exclusively. Now it's Map and Fire and Smoke Ladder, and we're going to talk all about that today. So Clay, thanks for coming back. Thanks for joining us for another episode. I'm thrilled to have this conversation with you. Always feel like I'm learning from you along the way. Tell us a little bit about, maybe give us a refresher on a little bit of your background and what you're up to now.
Well, first of all, multi-time guest, thrilled. I'll give you my, I don't know if I get a jacket. I don't know what exactly.
We should get you a t-shirt or something.
Okay. Yeah. I definitely want something gold or something. Would be great. No, super, super happy to be back, and I totally mutual. I love our conversations. I always feel like I'm like learning and thinking about stuff in new ways. So, but yeah, like you said, founder of Map and Fire, we do customer research work, positioning work, brand work, and kind of as an offshoot of that, over the past year, I've been working on a product, which is called Smoke Ladder, and it is my best attempt at capturing some of our process around positioning and messaging analysis, but productizing it and turning it into something that, you know, anybody can use to analyze their own brand, but also be able to analyze competitor brands, figure out opportunities to differentiate in the market. So it's certainly not a replacement for a strategist, but it's a tool to give you a bunch of insights so that whether, again, you're a strategist, a founder, or whatever, you can do your job better and get insights on the market and, you know, all the crazy stuff that's happening out there right now.
I love it. I didn't prep you for this, but I think we should spend a little bit of time on maybe at the end of the conversation. I'd love to know kind of the threshold that you reached or kind of your process for being like, this is something new that should be productized different than the core business. I think that in and of itself could be a really interesting learning for us.
Yeah. I think it's particularly interesting at this moment in time because AI is allowing us to do so many things that we couldn't do before. So it's allowing you to, I think, maybe think of product opportunities that didn't exist before. I mean, that's definitely, Smoke Ladder would not exist without AI and kind of some of what's available through APIs and all that stuff. So anyway.
Fascinating. Okay, I'm not going to let you jump there just yet because this is the Content Cocktail Hour. So we do always ask all of our guests, what are you enjoying drinking nowadays?
Oh man, we're heading into summer here. So honestly, I'm just like guzzling water nonstop. Not super exciting, but no, it's like I kind of am just sticking to my like morning latte, a lot of water, you know, some green tea, trying to keep it, you know, as zen as possible. So yeah, that's pretty much all I run on.
Hey, I like it. You're not the first or won't be the last person to answer that question with water. And I always tell all of our watchers and listeners, let that be a reminder that we all need to drink more water. Stop what you're doing and take a swig. I glance over my desk. I currently have a Diet Coke can, a coffee mug, and a water jug all on my desk. So I'm with you on kind of the lame.
A good balance of dehydrating and hydrating. Yeah.
Yeah. Just do it all at once. Yeah. So I can appreciate that. Well, let's jump into this Smoke Ladder conversation. You've mentioned to me as part of this process, you interviewed a lot of agency founders, which I think is, I've shared that. That was kind of part of our origin story at The Juice as well. Wanted to meet with 100 marketers in 100 days. I know you've interviewed a lot of agency owners. this is such a, you mentioned this earlier, such an interesting point in time to be talking to people about kind of their perspective on everything going on in the world. I'll just leave it at that, you know? And so I'd be really curious, maybe let's start there with just some of what the kind of high level themes or trends or feedback that you heard from those agency founders that you were talking to.
There were two themes that really came out of it that have stuck with me. I think one of them is a little more evergreen, kind of something that I think anybody who's working in the agency space is dealing with all the time, which is clients not being clear about their own strategy and having the challenge of trying to do work with them or for them without them being able to kind of properly articulate what they do or why they're different or what their positioning is or what their brand stands for, all that kind of stuff. So I think that to me is something that is, again, kind of evergreen. I think that's like a, if you've worked in any kind of client service space, you've dealt with that problem. Luckily with Map and Fire, with the work we do, we're doing a lot of strategy work typically. So it's not necessarily a stopper for us because that's what we're here to work on. But if you're in like a, if you're a content agency or social or web or something like that, the inability to understand what their strategy is like a complete blocker. It's like, we can't write content for you if we don't know what you're trying to do with your business. So I heard that a lot as like a blocker, and it affects the sales process. It affects discovery. It affects onboarding. And again, it's ultimately a blocker to like start executing whatever the engagement is. So that was kind of one big theme. And then the other big theme, which I think is much more today specific, is agencies who are maybe used to being more executional focused, recognizing the need to kind of up their game or get out of the role of just being a, you know, executor of tasks and becoming more of a strategic partner where they're offering more strategic based services or being more involved in those conversations. And this is a very AI driven thing. It's like this sort of existential threat that we're all feeling of which parts of our jobs are going to get eaten up and how do we raise our value and like become part of bigger conversations.
So let's dig into that second one. We're not going to fix that first one.
I know that first one's going to be broken forever, which is great for me because that's part of what I'm trying to solve. But the second one is, yeah, a little more pressing.
We'll save that first one for the third episode we have you on. We'll solve it all in a 30-minute episode. But so that second one, you mentioned AI being the driver for that. I'm curious, like, are these agency owners, leaders, is the AI impact they're feeling, is it changing what they can provide or figuring out how to infuse it into what they provide and do it better? Or is it like just like incrementally increasing what they do provide? I'm not exactly sure if there's a very specific question in there, but let's just like pick deeper on like the impact that AI is having for those agency leaders.
I think there's a lot of different pieces to it. I think part of it is that, again, I think there's like a devaluing of the work on some level. So again, if let's use content, I mean, that's obviously, you know, super relevant to you guys and kind of what you're focused on. I think content, certain types of content have been devalued, obviously, because of AI. And there's also this feeling of just like, well, where can we cut budget? Do we need to have a person do this? Or could we have like, you know, how much could we lean on AI to do some of this work? So there's sort of like a diminishing of value around that work. And so I think it just sort of creates this gap of, well, if that's going to be devalued, where can we increase, you know, value in other places to secure our role or just to, you know, even just to like make sure our engagements are, from a revenue perspective, still like valuable to us, like, cause we can't, you know, every agency can't just all of a sudden be like, oh yeah, we'll just churn that out a bunch of stuff for you for like pennies on the dollar. Like we've got to continue to run our business. And so, yeah, I think just like, you were like, I don't know what exactly the question is. I'm not sure exactly what the right answer is here either. But we did hear a lot. I heard a lot of that in the conversations with them.
It just sounds like a lot is in, like, it's a very dynamic, volatile, like, flux environment where a lot is changing. And I have a feeling these agencies are being forced to maybe, like, move with the wind, the current wind direction on that day, maybe more. Like, there's just the speed of change is happening faster for everybody involved, it maybe sounds like.
Yeah, I was having another conversation. This isn't he's not an agency owner, but he's an individual copywriter who works in the space. And we were sort of, without getting too off track with this, I was sort of making the comparison of like our current kind of political environment where yeah. You feel like every day we wake up and there could be some big change that we don't know what's going to happen next. Yeah. And I think the AI space really feels that way at times where you sort of feel like you might wake up tomorrow and there's going to be some huge new jump in the technology that could not completely replace you, but it could replace large parts of what you're doing. So there is a huge amount of volatility around that. And just sort of, I think it has everybody a little bit on edge. And my friend's perspective was, do I need to start making a move now? Because I don't want to 2 years from now be like,
right,
out of work. And what was I thinking? Why didn't I react sooner to some of this? So it's super volatile. It's very volatile.
It really is. And I think, like, I don't know, I don't want to sound like stuck in my ways here or too stubborn. Like I think AI is going to change a lot. I try to stay up on it. I think my perspective on it all is I don't want to form an opinion so strong now on it that I can't change it at a later date because it does all change so rapidly. But I think I also try to take like solace in the fact I was talking to another marketer who's kind of a mentor of mine. He's, I think he's probably in his 50s. He's been in marketing. He's been doing marketing for a long time. And we had him on the podcast, Jeff Roars. We worked at Exact Target together a long time ago. I just have a tremendous amount of respect for him. And, you know, I had him in a very similar conversation like this and some throwaway line, like marketing's changing faster than ever before with AI. And he like looked at me and he's like, no, it's not. I was around when the internet became a thing, right? Like AI is just like a small fraction of the broader internet. And it's, yes, it's changing a lot, but he's like, you know, like the internet came along and then the dot-com bust. He's like, this is like, we kind of go through these like revolutions every 5, 6, 7, 8 years. And he did say, you know, this one's probably bigger and different and faster than others. And it could be bigger than the internet, like that sort of thing. So there were all the right caveats, but like, I think we as marketers, part of what we sign up for when we go into marketing is like learning, right? Like, because there is no, you learn it once and you've got it figured out. I think like we just all have to be comfortable with the fact it is going to change. And I think the conversation you had with your friend is a good example of that, is just like being kind of malleable and thinking ahead and knowing that it's going to change, I think is a big part of what, again, we sign up for all when we go into marketing.
Yeah.
So that was a long ramble there.
No. It actually reminded me of, an email. So I'm on an email list with Scott Brinker. He's the guy who created the MarTech map, you know, which is the thing that freaks us all out every year where we're like, oh my God, there's how many more thousands of...
Everybody's getting smaller and smaller and smaller.
My logo can't get any smaller. Like right. It's not there anymore on it. Like, I don't know what I'm even looking at. And he in the newsletter, he was announcing kind of the upcoming upgrade to the map. And he basically said something to the effect of comparing this to the dot-com, like, or the original kind of internet boom. This is the most disruptive period we've seen since then. But the difference is that took a decade or so to evolve.
Right.
He said this is, in his opinion, like watching a Loom video on 5X speed, where it's
a big anxiety.
I know, right? It's like, yeah. I can go to 1.25 and beyond that, I just like it. I can't absorb it. So, but
one of my good friends listens to podcasts in 3X, and I think he's like a serial killer now on the side. I'm like, this is like, this psychopath behavior.
I know. My wife listens to podcasts on 2X, and I'm just like, what are you? You can't, you're not absorbing any of this. I don't believe you. So, but it does feel that way. It feels like 5X speed sometimes, where things are changing under our feet so fast. And it's been interesting watching people's opinions evolve with that kind of in real time as well, where we had the initial gold rush shiny object of like, oh my God, AI can do everything, and like we'll just kind of outsource it and blah blah blah. And there is still some of that going on now, but now I think it's kind of been tempered a little bit, where it feels a little more like, okay, clearly we still need human and AI collaboration. What does that look like? So now it's become more of a question of like, where do you fit on the spectrum of, you know, how much human versus how much AI? And again, that's going to continue to evolve. But I think that's kind of like what these agencies are dealing with too, of we know we need to implement some element of AI because we can't compete otherwise. But the human piece might actually be the thing that really sets us apart in the ability to generate quality, unique insights, and, you know, just premium quality ideas and content. Like, still feels like the realm of humans to me. Yeah. It feels like that's not something we're ready to just release the reins on. But yeah. I don't know. Do you feel that way?
Yes, I do. I think the initial kind of wave of AIs coming for all of our jobs is gone. There's still, I think, some of that. And I think some of that maybe rightfully so, potentially. But I think like that initial fear factor of AI is going to replace all marketers or all content marketers. I think you're right. It's all about that spectrum of balance of like, how do we use AI to actually free up creativity and strategy that humans can provide? And that I think is exciting. I think it's also like, it's all happening so fast on that 5x speed that, for people who are maybe thrive in a fast paced environment, I think it's kind of an opportunity for us all to play and experiment and try new things and build new products. And it could become a real advantage for those individuals even, a real opportunity. So how did those two problems kind of inform what you're building then now with Smoke Ladder?
Yeah. I mean, when I started Smoke Ladder, my thought initially was, this is a productized version again of some of the work that we do at Map and Fire, some of the positioning work we do, how we analyze messaging, et cetera. And I really kind of viewed it more as a tool potentially for founders or internal marketing teams to work on their own positioning and, you know, messaging. And what these interviews with these agency owners kind of, I guess, turned on a light bulb for me with was seeing that there was this whole other opportunity space for this, again, where it's like, we are talking to new clients all the time. We have to get up to speed on what they're doing. We have to navigate this competitive space quickly. A tool like Smoke Ladder can kind of help you very quickly, like do an analysis and basically create a brief, a brand brief of who is their target customer, what's their basic positioning, what are their strengths and weaknesses, what are their holes in their messaging, all this kind of stuff. So even before you've jumped in and started an engagement, you know, so it can inform like a sales call, it can inform a discovery session, onboarding, all that kind of stuff. So it really kind of helped me see like, okay, I think there's actually maybe a better application almost of what we're doing for that space, because it's happening constantly. It's like every, you know, week we're all, you know, doing this kind of stuff. So that was definitely part of it. And I think also one other thing is, you know, if you're working on something like content and you're trying to figure out what is our point of view with this, what is our angle with this, you need that kind of data. I think to me, part of this is this sort of sea change that we're experiencing right now is as competition grows, as AI kind of commoditizes so many different things, it's like we need, kind of like you were saying, like we need better tools. If we want to keep up with this, it's sort of like the arms race. It's like as AI kind of like accelerates things, we sort of need AI to keep us up to speed, you know, and to be able to
stay. Fight fire with fire.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of what it is, you know, and very on brand with my fire theme. So
no pun intended, but I like it. Yeah. So that's all really fascinating. My wheels are spinning, even for our own brand on it potentially. But I'm going to shift gears because I promised this question to the listeners at the start of the call. I'm curious kind of for you, like personally, and for me, Map and Fire as a business, like what was the kind of breaking point where you realized, okay, this should be productized and kind of stood up independent of the core business? I just always love the kind of listening to entrepreneurs and the thought process there.
Yeah. I mean, this was something that for me was in the works mentally for many years. I wanted to create a product. Originally, I was thinking a little more like holistically around brand strategy. And I tried to do a couple iterations of this. I was doing my own like data collection across like a bunch of different brands. I even worked on like a messaging product at one point that was sort of my attempt to kind of do like a ChatGPT-ish kind of thing, but it was so rudimentary. And then when AI stuff came out, it's like, I'm so glad I abandoned it when I did, because it was like, at the time it was cool. And now it's just kind of like would be laughable.
Was it Clay GPT?
Exactly. I was at least on point with that. Like the naming was right there. But it was so it was kind of like this merging of an idea, a need that I felt like was there, because I knew there were parts of our process that were, you know, I've always been very productized in my approach with this work. And so some of it just lent itself naturally to being kind of turned into a digital product. And then the AI just like unlocked it all. It was like, okay, well now we can, you know, do these specific, more complex tasks through AI that we just couldn't do before. So I don't know if I completely answered your question. I think to me, are there parts of your work that you're doing the exact same way over and over and over again that are providing a ton of value? You know, that's what I focused on first. The product has grown over the past year, but initially it was like one thing. It just did like one thing, which was just one part of our process.
Well, I think it's cool. Like you recognize the opportunity, and like, I think it would have been easy for a lot of people to say, oh, we do this over and over and over again. Like, let's just get better at doing it over and over again. But I think to actually recognize the opportunity and then take the kind of bold step of building it and making it its own thing is pretty cool. I think that's a really interesting story, and would encourage watchers and listeners may think about that. You know, if you're doing something over and over again, like, is it something that should actually be its own thing versus just like going deeper and deeper into that rabbit hole?
Yeah. And I think that's still a very valid question, because I think we all are going to have to confront, you know, do we try to embrace again our human value and go deeper on that expertise, or do we let go of it a little bit and say like, well, this could be a process that is, you know, kind of AI enabled or whatever. Some of these new products, like the Lovables of the world and some of these, you know, vibe coding tools, like those didn't exist when I started Smoke Ladder a year ago. So now it's even easier in some ways. So I would definitely encourage people to try it.
We actually have a customer who, they were in the pretty early stages, and we had them on a podcast episode. We talked all about this. So I know they're comfortable with me sharing this, but, Bounty Labs, they're actually backed by Google Ventures even. And they were one of the early like AI outbound solutions. And they were one of the first, and now there's a lot of those AI SDRs, AI outbound. And they kind of recognize like, okay, that obviously a lot of people can build that. What they realized their core competency was using AI to build that faster and beat others to market. And so they've actually changed their business. Their business is now standing up AI created businesses faster, more efficient. And like, you know, it does not each business needs to be a $1 billion business, but if they can build $2 or $3 million businesses pretty quickly and beat others to market and do it efficiently, like that's actually what they're in the business of building businesses now. And that was one of those AI conversations that kind of like rocked me to my core. That's maybe a bit dramatic, but it was like, oh, like that's like thinking like way deeper than just like using AI to create content or using AI to make something more efficient. Like that was something that was kind of it was an eye-opening conversation for me, and I think a pretty interesting use case of it all.
Well, I think that is really interesting. And I think it does sort of like beg the question of, which I've dealt with myself, of are these products, how defendable are these products?
Right.
Are you creating something that is sort of an immediate commodity? What's different about it? I know for myself, like part of what I've thought about a lot is we're trying to build up a database. So like we're basically building up a, you know, we've got like thousands and thousands of brands and sites that we've analyzed now, which creates a moat of sorts for the product, where it's like, well, yeah, you could come in and try to like do this, but we have a nice head start now of doing this particular thing a particular way. Also kind of having your own point of view about it. Like, so you're doing like AI SDRs, but like, what's your spin on it? Or like, what's your flavor of that? Or, you know, what's different about it? You know, if you're in the positioning space, I think it's going to be very interesting because there's going to be a lot of work to be done. You know, it's like, are you a good developer or are you just a good marketer?
It's fascinating. All of it. Well, we'll save that existential question for the fourth episode of Play. You don't get off the hook on this one, though. We always end these conversations. I should have gone back and listened to what your unpopular opinion was last time to make sure you don't use the same one. But Clay, what is an unpopular opinion that you have as it pertains to marketing?
That's a good question. That's so funny. Like I've been so kind of heads down on some of the building and stuff that we've been doing. I don't know if it's so unpopular exactly right now, but I would say that I'm probably still like pretty pro-human right now. You know,
so unpopular.
Call me crazy. But even though I'm building an AI product and I am deep in the space, I'm still like pretty hardcore pro-human that like, I think we've got a good stretch of time still in front of us. I might be naive. We could wake up tomorrow and there could be some new revolution, but I think what we bring to the table, the complexity of the things we can think about and solve is still at a level that I haven't seen AI come close to touching. Maybe AI can ace, you know, the MCATs and all that stuff, but like, I don't think it can do the kind of thinking that we do. So again, I don't know if that's so unpopular, but it's at least sort of a bet I think that I'm making.
Let me see. So Clay's unpopular opinion is humans are smart.
Humans, don't get rid of humans. I know everybody else is on board to just like, let's just get rid of them. But like, I'm saying, hey, let's keep us around for a little bit.
I love it. I appreciate that. And I'm sure all of our human watchers and listeners appreciate that as well.
You'll sleep a little better at night, hopefully. Yeah.
Exactly. I love it. Well, Clay, if people want to learn more from you or learn more about Smoke Ladder or Map and Fire, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, I mean, probably the best is you can go to our website. So mapandfire.com. Can go to smokeladder.com. You can sign up for a free account, kick the tires, you know, test out the product, see what you think. And please hit me up if you have any thoughts or, you know, suggestions. You know, it's a work in progress. I would love to hear from you. So let me know.
Absolutely. Appreciate that. We'll get all those links in the show notes, Clay. Thanks for joining. Again, always enjoy these conversations. And I look forward to you being a recurring guest in the future as well. To all of our watchers, all of our listeners, thanks for joining another fresh episode of the Content Cocktail Hour. Until next time, same place. Cheers.
Thank you for joining the Content Cocktail Hour powered by Audience Plus. If you want to see more episodes or more resources curated for your role, join us at audienceplus.com. See you next time, same place. Cheers.